going to ask Pauline to speak next, if that's okay. Pauline Ross, many of you, or many of us, will associate Pauline with the Playhouse Theatre in Derry, which she founded in 1992. And speaking of change, as we are, she oversaw its award-winning renovation in 2009. I have a note here. The Playhouse Theatre in Derry has been described as one of the most artistically diverse community arts centres in Ireland. So we'd be interested to hear what Pauline has to tell us.
Where do you start? 92 seems a long way away. Makes me feel very old. But I'll go back further. I'll go back before that, when I left school at 15 and went to work for the credit union movement. One of the greatest social innovation projects that hit this island of Ireland, coming from America. And I witnessed with my own eyes and mind how people got empowered by having control of their few pounds every week. When a bank wouldn't open, let them open a bank account. You have to have a bank account now for your benefits, but then you couldn't get a bank account. And I saw small businesses grow into quite substantial employers in our city. So I thought, you know, John Hume, our Nobel Peace Laureate, or peace winner, he was the instigator in bringing it to the city. The city, as you know, had huge unemployment. Social housing was an issue. Social housing is still an issue today. But John knew that to democratise money would help people. And you go through your life and you look at people who inspire you. Adrian talked about Joseph Boyce. Joseph Boyce visited the Playhouse in 1988-89, didn't know it, wasn't a Playhouse then, it was a redundant old building, but I believe in his work because I believe that within all of us there is the artist. But somewhere along the line we head into primary school and the arts are the Friday afternoon. A little bit of drawing, or a wee bit of music, or a wee bit of dance, and that's all fair and dandy. But it can stay in the periphery of a person's life, all their life, as the Friday afternoon thing, or the Friday night thing, or Saturday night thing. So I wanted to democratise arts and cultural experiences. And a girl that worked with me decided she wanted to become a mature student. And they had closed down our university. There was a big march to Stormont. Everybody knows that. And they had a course for people who left school with no qualifications. She's a science teacher now, probably vice principal of a huge school. So I said, well, she can do that, I can do that. So I went and did my degree. And when I came out, I said, I'm going to set up a community arts resource centre. Resource centres were very popular within communities of high unemployment and social deprivation. So I found an old building and I was told the story about Joseph Boyce. And the reason Joseph Boyce, with his huge big hat and his big long fur coat, was that he elevated himself to sainthood. Because over this old building that he stood under was St. Joseph's Boys School. And the photographs in the Austrian Museum, by the way. But it was the idea that within us, that a child dances before they walk. They sing and communicate to everybody around them before they talk. And they doodle and make the most beautiful Picasso drawings before they can write their name. But it gets suppressed, the 3 hours, and I'm a huge advocate for the 4th hour, in that art is the greatest language, it's a universal language. It helps us make sense of our lives, of our past, and it helps us to create a vision for the future. So the Playhouse was set up. We had £300 from the British Eklund Foundation. We now employ 50 odd people, 25 full time, about 25 part time. And then artists who work in our prisons, works with our special needs groups. We just were awarded a big award last week for community impact. We now have a Minister for Culture who's trying to change policy. I was very struck by Laurie's piece of information this morning that in this theatre, it's the pantomime room that subsidises the opera. So it's the pennies of the working class and the poor that's providing the luxuries for the middle classes. I have to say that we promised Adam we wouldn't talk about funding. You know, we know the situation. We just like, Dan, you know, we you get on with it. You do it. You have a passion and an enthusiasm. Nobody knows what a 40-hour week is or a weekend off, but it's great because you find a job you love to do and you never have to work a day in your life. But getting that award last week, and this is important because it was for young people who leave our education systems with no qualifications. Because I left an education system with no qualifications. I have great empathy with these young people. And we have now about 500 graduates every year, and some of them have then a progression path to go into their technical colleges or go back to their secondary schools to do GCSEs or A-levels. So we won the Clare Award, and we represented that last week, and we also won the Outstanding Achievement Award by our Chamber of Commerce. Because when I set the Playhouse up, I set it up as a community arts centre, but I set it up as a business, as a community business, with a business model and a business plan. And when the guy that asked me, he was going to buy the building for me, he says, have you any money, Paul? And I says, yes, I have £300. But I had a really good business plan. So he went to the bank with my business plan, got the money, we shook hands, and he says, I'll sell it back to you to get the money. 6 years later, we bought the building. And 6 years after that, we spent £5 million on it. And we're ready to start another £6 million project. But it is about the art as communicators. Dan is a bit frightened about art as activism. I don't think Joseph Boyce would be. The man that came in the door when I opened the Playhouse in 1992 was Augusto Boal, Theatre of the Oppressed from Brazil. He went on to go into Parliament using theatre as his tool. There are reports produced every year from government about, and I'm looking at Paul here and his Over the Hill Musicians Collective, the work in dementia, the work with Alzheimer's, the work with children with special needs. The arts are tools for communication, and in the past 3 years, with great support from the Henry Smith Charity and Esme Ferber, because we had Augusto Boal in our first year, I now have a network of artists, theatre directors, writers, painters, sculptors, academics who straddle both the field, the real field, and academia, who work in areas of post-conflict, post-civil war, genocide, who work with victims and survivors. And so for the past 3 years, with the great support from Henry Smith and Esme, I've been operating international residencies in Northern Ireland with victims and survivors. And in fact, our very last Theatre Witness project 2 weeks ago was from couples from Inniskillen. Stevie's father was blown up in the Inniskillen bomb. He was badly injured himself. But it was a project on unspoken love, and it was a project between couples who were in a mixed marriage and how their love survived that, survived the hate mail, the bullets in the post, the disruption to families and their communities. So theatre can bear witness to the most horrible things, the most beautiful things, but it can make horrible things digestible. You can speak the unspeakable through theatre, and you can create the empathy and that empathetic moral imagination that John Paul Rettig, one of the world's greatest peacemakers, talks about. It's boundless, because they're international languages. And like yeast is to bread, the arts are to us and our humanity. They lift us up and they make us realise that we are better than what we think we are ourselves. That's it.